Chapter 18. The manifestation hearing itself was an entirely different kind of meeting. The entire child study team, including the case manager, the learning disabilities testing coordinator, and the psychologist were there. Susan Carpenter was in attendance as well as Bert Puri, Ron, and Muriel Browser. David would be brought in at some point, and there could be others who were invited to attend if their presence was considered necessary. Usually, at least one teacher on David's schedule was asked to be there. Ron had been a fierce advocate of having the student be allowed to pick the faculty member that he wished to represent him academically. That had become established practice. Christy Triano chaired the meeting. Ron took notes. He wished for Joyce, who could write as fast as anyone spoke, and give it back, with at least the gist and many of the details. But he knew what he was looking for. They listened as David's recent standardized test scores, mandated by the manifestation hearing, administered by the child study team, were announced. His IQ was 132. His hand-eye coordination was above average. His hearing was well above average. His hygiene was passable, but revealed evidence of his oppositional defiance issue. They are mostly manifested by a resistance to authority or perceived authority by negative verbal signaling. Ron listened as Chandra spoke, and he wrote. He jotted down three quick questions. Upon confrontation, David does not, at present, have complete control of his social acceptability. But we feel this is improving. Chandra paused and added as she stared across the table at Ron. Because of David's opportunities to adjust to socialization, which will be significantly hampered by any aspect of isolation. Ron smiled over at Christy Triano. Of course she had told Chandra. Ron expected she would, but Muriel didn't like it. That was a private meeting in her office. Christy Triano thanked the child study team and welcomed Susan Carpenter. She asked if Susan had agreed with the picture that it presented of David. Susan Carpenter was an immaculately dressed woman in a business suit. Her hair was sculpted to hang just to her shoulders. Her nails were manicured red, and they rested on the table in front of her. She held her wrists together and gestured with her fingers. David has never been an easy boy. I know what he's like. I had no better luck with his older brother. That surprised Ron. He jotted it down and drew circles. Yes, I agree that he is a smart boy who does not like to be told what to do. She paused like she was about to say something else, but then didn't. He does seem happier here, concluded Susan. Ron thought that her ability to understate was about as good as he had ever heard. Are there any questions before we proceed to the next stage of the hearing? Said Christy. Ron indicated that he had a question by repositioning his pad and then pointing to it with his pen. Could you describe the negative verbal signaling, Dr. Peters? Inappropriate responses, said Peters, stiffening. Responses that include vulgarity and sexual innuendo, said Ron. Yes, Dr. Tuck, we all know how he responds. Chandra wished that she could plant her sharpest heel so far into his balls that he hopped like Bugs Bunny. My point, Chandra, is that the tension that is added to this room by even discussing the details of his behaviors makes it extraordinarily clear that they have a negative impact on a community as interactive as ours. Muriel Browser said, I think that it is about time that we hear from David. David Carpenter was a blonde-headed kid with a surfer-look haircut that drooped into his right eye. Muriel Browser tried to make eye contact with the one uncovered eye, but was unable. David sat in the chair, staring at the table. David, do you know why we are having this meeting? Muriel asked, hoping it would raise David's eyes. It did. They were a sparkling blue. He brushed his hair back with his hand. People get pissed off at me, said David. His tone was moderate. Do you know why? Said Muriel softly. David's eyes drew a little closer, and his voice seemed more rehearsed. There doesn't have to be a why, bitch. Chandra Peters made eye contact with David. Imperceptibly, she moved her eyes back and forth like she was shaking her head. David nodded and put his hands in his pockets as he had been taught. Susan Carpenter looked embarrassed, and hardly for the first time. Ron said, Dave, why didn't you want a teacher here to speak about your academics? David's voice deepened again. I've got nothing to say to any of them. Don't care what any of them have to say to me. Ron nodded. So you don't feel bonded with any of them? You know, friendly? David smirked. Just you, Dr. Tuck. I just love our little chats. He paused. Everyone listened. You're funny as shit. Thanks, David. It hadn't been the first time he'd said that to him. Chandra spoke up. David, will you excuse us a minute, please? David was happy to get out of there. He hadn't said anything that bad. He hadn't told the skanks about the stink of them. After the door closed in back of David, Chandra said, he obviously feels very threatened in this situation. That felt pretty much the way David is during the day-to-day interactions. That is why I am recommending that he be placed on immediate home instruction while psychological counseling is provided on a regular basis. There it was. The reports had been delivered. Christy Triano had one more detail to resolve. The district cannot assume the complete cost of the counseling, Mrs. Carpenter. This was not a decision that Susan was allowed to make. She nodded her head and said, I understand. Ron thought she saw her close her eyes and swallow. Triano added, this is a temporary decision that will be reviewed in 2 months.